Red Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2016 Carlo Vivari International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Giga Wirtz.
Exactly.
Director of Houston, We Have a Problem. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, so the first question is a very simple one. Would you be able to tell our listeners a little bit about the story of your film?
Houston, We Have a Problem is basically a story about the myth of the Yugoslav space program that was supposedly sold to the United States in the 60s, and then afterwards Yugoslavia gets a lot of money, great living style, one of the best of in the socialist of the socialist countries. But things get a bit weird afterwards when Americans figure out what Yugoslavs actually sold them.
What prompted you to make a film like this, and what inspired you to tell this story?
Well, Yugoslavia is still kind of enigma today. It was a myth at that point in the history, because throughout the world Yugoslavia was some sort of a bridge between East and the West. Even, I don't know, President Nixon, for instance, came to visit Tito to Yugoslavia to discuss Vietnam. That kind of bridge he was. And still after the fall of Yugoslavia, the declaration of independence, for instance, my country Slovenia, when at that time Yugoslavia was, of course, breaking apart, nobody wanted to be in it anymore, and that kind of thinking. But now it's 25 years afterwards, people are still kind of looking back into the history. Was it really so bad? Was it really so good, actually? We don't know, but it's still there. It's a myth. And that was one of the reasons. Another reason was how we see information today in the media, because there's so many news and people really, and Facebooks and social networking and that kind of stuff, and people don't really share because they actually checked some information. They just share because, well, it looks nice, or they feel like I should share this thought. And we don't really check any information anymore, so we kind of try to make this 2016 experiment. So I think this is important for today. How do we actually make a docufiction film where we say, look, it's a combination between reality, fiction, but it's up to you, be critical at least once for a while, and check the facts.
So is it a provocation?
I think it's more like a wake-up call.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, it wasn't meant to be, because if we wanted to make this provocation to say, yeah, we want to like cheat people or whatever, we could simply say, look, this is a documentary film, and then, you know, people would be probably pissed off. But it's the other way around. We actually say, look, it's not just facts, it's a combination. We're not going to tell you where's the line between reality and fiction, but there is a fiction, like a lot of fiction in it. So that's why I think this brings much bigger message. That's why we also included philosopher Slavoj Žižek, who clearly says and has his own thoughts about what's true and what's not.
Where does the fact end and where does the imagined part of the film begin?
This is very blurred line. It goes from the beginning till the end of the film. This is all very blurred, because honestly, that was the idea. You know, that's what we stick with. But when you start making a film, you're mostly worried about the story, about your characters, how you will tell this story, and then you just basically use all the tools you have to do that.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then when we were in the editing room, I'm not really sure if we have ever really discussed where is this line between reality and fiction. We just have this amount of footage that we shot today, a lot of archive footage, a lot of documents, a lot of different scenes, and then you just ask yourself, you know, how are we going to combine that into an interesting story that people will want to watch? Because that's still the main reason why I do the film, to tell the story.
Yeah. I'm going to talk a little more in detail about the actual, some parts of the film and the way in which it was made. But first, a rather more general question about the style. How much of the final product was shaped by the beginning stage? And how much of it was changed in the editing afterwards?
It was a long process, and the film was really done from the initial idea at the very beginning till the end of the editing. What happened was, we tried to really simulate documentary style filmmaking, because I've done quite a lot of documentaries in the last few years, so I was kind of into that kind of storytelling. And you know that whenever you do a documentary, you write a script, you know what the story is about, you predict who your or maybe characters are, and so back and forth. But still, you leave it up to the the actual event which you are shooting. So what we did was, at the beginning, there was this a lot of research done, a lot of archive research, because you have this problem. Of course, you can get a lot of very interesting documents, but we're not writing a book; we're making a film, right? So you're looking for the film and audiovisual archives, basically. And then it goes back and forth. Okay, what do we want to tell, and can we actually tell that? Because do we have archive or not? Because it happens that you can find some other interesting archive which you didn't really anticipate that you're going to find. And what happened was, then we started shooting the film, and there were still a lot of things that just happened on the set, on locations, as real documentary stuff, because even the shooting itself was this blurred, it was really blurred between fiction and reality, because even some characters, such as General Major of the Yugoslav Counterintelligence Service, well, that's him. So he really helped us a lot. Even the stuff that you don't see in the film told by him, he helped us a lot, how things really happened in Yugoslavia. So that's why Fina has this real feeling, because we always thought, you know, if it was true, how would it actually unfold?
Is it then fair to say that it was kind of shot like a documentary, even though it is not a, well, at least not a conventional documentary per se?
Definitely. We tried really hard to make it as documentary as possible, because that was the idea at the beginning, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, let's see how people react to that, because it's the language itself that tells people what are they actually watching. And that's quite horrible, actually, because when you watch, okay, a fiction film, it's well shot, well lit, you know, actors, you know, it's a fiction. And then you see television news, you say, okay, this looks like TV news, this must be real.
Mm, yeah.
But is that correct or not? You know, I leave it up to you.
That's interesting, because that leads me to ask you another question. So given the fact that it deals with Tito, but even, you know, by kind of similar extent, the USA, is it also kind of a way of commenting on the propaganda that was being used at the time in particular?
I think I'm not so worried about the propaganda that was used at that time, because somehow it really felt like propaganda. And I think if I lived at that time, I kind of felt, okay, this is propaganda.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm just more worried what's going on today, because you hear in the media a lot of different, you know, opinions, which is a part of actual political agenda, because if we follow what was written in different newspapers in Britain through before the Brexit...
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah, it was quite crazy, actually. So you kind of see that, you know, you could probably say this is also PR, this is pure propaganda, although it's a journalistic work. So you would say, okay, journalists did their job, and I really appreciate journalists. They're, you know, I have a lot of friends, and they're really, really great people. But I know that you have some editorial politics above you. And that's what is kind of... That worries me, and that's why we thought, you know, I think this is important to tell. That's why it's important to tell this story today.
Can we talk about the use of archive footage a little more? Because I'm always very interested in finding out more about it.
Well, the archive footage was one of the biggest challenges, because, as I said, you're looking for these audiovisual materials with which you're going to present your story.
Yeah.
Because if you're just shooting a fiction film, you know what you need, you shoot it, and then you edit it. Mm-hmm. Here, you know what you need, and you have no idea if you're gonna get it. We did a lot of research. We got a lot of really good archives in Belgrade, so-called filmska novosti, like film newsreels. They were done from the 1945 onwards.
Yeah.
It was like this national sort of news/propaganda machinery, which followed Tito and everybody with 35mm cameras around, so we got all the time, 35.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
So you get even much higher quality footage than shot today on HD. Then there were some other, like U.S. archive, Kennedy Library, Nixon Library. Like in Kennedy Library, we found that phone call between Kennedy and Tito, where Kennedy is kind of
fantastic. I love that. Yeah,
yeah, that was really fun, especially because Tito was Tito's nickname and his surname was Bros, and then Kennedy says, "Say hello to Mrs. Tito," which is kind of internal joke, but you know.
In that call, when he says, "Oh, well, I hope to see you in Yugoslavia sometimes," and he doesn't say yes, he says, "Well,
yeah, I might,
bye.
Yeah." yeah, sure, why not, maybe.
Fantastic. No, that's what I actually want to ask you about. So the sense of humor is, you're looking for a bit of sense of humor in this film too.
Yeah. I think that this comes naturally with me as a filmmaker, because you don't pretend or you don't try to be something that you're not, and apparently throughout my previous films there was always this sense of humor, although yeah. we kind of told very serious stuff or topics or whatever, and I feel like it's okay for people to laugh in the film because they get this sort of emotional relief, so it's kind of easier for the audience to digest a more serious topic that's coming next afterwards, because it's always going up and down a little bit, you know, it's something is funny and then something is quite serious, and then I think it keeps audience quite engaged if you give them that kind of stuff. So you're not just pushing them back all the time. You're giving them some time and space.
I really loved your film. I would love for our listeners to be able to watch it. Can you tell us where we'll be screening soon, if there's any plans?
It will be definitely on the HBO Europe Go, which doesn't cover all of Europe, but probably should check it online. And we are just discussing some mostly VOD platforms worldwide, and I think it's going to be till the end of the year in most homes throughout the world probably, so just keep yourself updated.
Okay, well, I definitely recommend it to our listeners. Thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking with you.
Thank you very much.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.